And welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. This is the final episode in a two-part series on the topic healing for our land. So last week we laid the foundation and we looked at the character traits of God as revealed in our scripture text, which is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And we discussed how God was merciful and patient. He forgives us over and over again. Then we looked at God's desire for a relationship with us. He wanted us to seek him. We looked also at God's holiness. He told us to turn from our wicked ways. And then we discussed how God is faithful to his promises. He will, strong words, he will forgive our sins and heal our land. And then we closed out with God's power to restore. He is sovereign and he has the ability to renew, to heal that which has been broken, destroyed, or lost. So today, for this discussion, we're going to look at what does healing for our land really mean? And then we're going to conclude with the role, humility, prayer, seeking God's face, and repentance, or turning from our wicked ways, have in bringing about this healing. So when I looked at this scripture text, if you just took this text by itself, 2 Corinthians 7 and 14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. One would have thought this is a period in the lives of the people of Israel where they were doing their own thing. As we know, Israel continued to backslide on God and continued to turn away from God. So reading that scripture, I thought that Israel was going through one of its rebellion phase. But when I searched the scripture, I realized that no, that was not the case. If you look from verse 10, you'll see. So let's read from verse 10. That's 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 10. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their homes, joyful and glad of heart for the prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Glad of heart, joyful, and prosperity. Things weren't going bad during this time or the time of this scripture passage. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, this is verse 11, and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. We're talking about success here. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, so God is saying, these things will happen in the future. When I do these things, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So it wasn't during a time of rebellion that the scripture came about. God is saying when this happened. And to get a better understanding of it, you have to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. This was under the law of Moses, or the old covenant, or the Mosaic covenant, where there were blessings when you obeyed God, and then there were curses when you disobeyed God. It was final. If you did what God said to do, you will be blessed. If you didn't do what God said, you will be cursed. So let's look at the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 6 and then 14 to talk about the blessings of God. And then we'll read 15 to 20 to talk about these curses. Verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessings shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 14. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them, you will be blessed. Okay, so if you obey the voice of God, you are blessed. Now let's go to 15 to 20, curses. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion. Boy, I say that's interesting. Confusion and frustration and all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. So there were blessings when you obey. And this is under the old law of Moses, the Mosaic covenant, and there were curses. So here comes in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. This healing meant God would remove those covenant curses. He will remove them if. So he's saying, when these things happen, if you accept me, if you humble yourself, if you seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive your sins, and heal your land. Now, there are critics out there who say that 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 14 does not apply to us today. That is not relevant to us, because this was the curses that were under the old law, or old law of Moses, of Mosaic covenant. Now, I get it. Yeah, the physical territory promise belong uniquely to Israel. God saying he will restore your agriculture abundance, end the plagues, bring peace and prosperity back to the nation, save them from their enemies. I get that physical territory promise as it relates to this scripture. But the hard posture of humility, of prayer, of seeking God's face, of repentance, or turning from our wicked ways endures forever and from generation to generation. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, he will bring deliverance, whether to our personal lives or to our nation, if we ask him. His word says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it shall be done unto you. Joel chapter 2 verse 13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamities. He can change his mind if we turn from our wicked ways. So let's look at the role humility, prayer, seeking God's face, and repentance, or turning from our wicked ways, have on bringing about this healing that we desire for our nation. I desire it, and I know that many of you listening desire it too. And if you feel like your hands are tied, you cannot influence the government, you cannot influence other people's family, or you don't have any power to fix the police force, you feel hopeless. You do not have to feel hopeless. God has promised in His word that if we do these four things, He will bring about healing for our land. Let's look at humility. James 4, chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. I remember my pastor emeritus, Pastor Cash, preached a sermon many years ago and never left me. He said, it's better for you to humble yourself than for God to have to humble you. You won't like it. And I'm reminded of that story with King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king, very wealthy. And despite warnings about his pride, he didn't change. He went out one day on his balcony and looked over his vast wealth. And he says, look at what I have created with my own hands. And no sooner than he had said that, God struck him down, roaming around his vast property like a madman eating the grass and naked. Humility is to acknowledge our dependence upon God. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care your position in life. It is not because of you solely. It is because of God, and we ought to acknowledge Him. Because when we don't, the barrier to humility is pride. And when King Nebuchadnezzar began to acknowledge God, it was 7 years, he was like that, a madman. God restored his mental health, and he gave God the praise and the glory. This story teaches us the danger of pride and the importance of recognizing God's sovereign authority. Whatever you have, it has been given to you as a steward to manage over by God. And so you have to acknowledge Him if you're going to reap the benefits of it. And then the next one, prayer. Jeremiah 29 and 12 says, then you will call me and I will listen to you. Prayer is sincere communication to God. And this passage in Jeremiah was during a time when the children of Israel was in bondage and captivity in Babylon. And God said to them, you're going to be here for about 70 years. So go get married, go have children, basically live. And when that time was up, this period came about with that famous scripture, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Then when God said to you, you will call on me and I will answer you. Prayer invites God into our situations. It invites His guidance and His intervention and His blessings. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I discovered this scripture a few years back, and I thought it was such a powerful passage of scripture about King Jehoshaphat. There was this great army that was coming up against him. And actually, the armies were combining forces. There were three different armies just combining forces. And when he saw what was about to happen, the Bible said he turned his face to God. And he said to God, this great army is coming up against us. I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And I thought when I read that, here is a man who was acknowledging before God his inability to solve this problem on his own. But he turned his face to God. And you know, God was touched with that. So after he prayed to God, God told him to call for a solemn fast. You know, in studying this chapter, these verses of scripture, I learned that, let me tell you something, some things require fasting and praying. I know we pray, but some things require an additional sacrifice. Turn those plates down and fast before God for Him to move on your behalf. He called for a fast. But you know, they never went to war. God confused the armies. The three armies that came together, they were fighting amongst themselves. See, that's the type of God that we serve. He can do what appears to be the impossible. So whatever is going on in this country today, it is not too hard for our God. He just requires some things for us to do. And then seeking God's face. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near." We talk about seeking during our first episode. It is actively pursuing a closer relationship with God, connection with him. And we get that by studying his word, communing with him, praying with him, and doing those activities that please God. Seek him first. Whatever situation in your life, seek him first. Don't try to solve it on your own. Don't fight for it. Sometimes, you know, we want positions or we want certain things, and we think that we need to help God, or we don't need to help him out at all. Remember the story with Sarah and Abraham? God said to Abraham, "You're going to be the father of many nations." But Sarah and Abraham, because he agreed, they thought they needed to help him. God does not need our help. You just do what he says. I think the late Reverend Dr. Charles Stanley used to say, you be obedient and leave the consequences to God. Do what God has called you to do. Don't help him out. Let him direct you. God wants us to seek him. And then repentance, or turning from our wicked ways. Acts chapter 3:19. "Repent therefore and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." God is calling us to turn away from our wrongdoing and strive for repentance. He wants our relationship with him to be restored. I was looking at the story of Jonah, and it's so interesting because we grew up on that story as kids. You know, Jonah went in the belly of the wave, of the whale. But I thought it was so important for this session or this topic, healing for our land. When we look at Jonah chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, it shows that God is able to turn any situation around, even what's going on in our country. "And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water." We know the story about how God sent Jonah to Nineveh, but Jonah went to Tarshish because he said that he knew God was a gracious God and a forgiving God, and he knew God was going to change his mind. So he didn't think he needed to go to Nineveh like God told him, but he got swallowed in the whale, and then God sent him to Nineveh. And when Jonah proclaimed to the people, tell them about their sins, they actually repented. And this is where the king now is saying to the people to fast. Don't even let your flock drink any water or eat anything. Verse 8, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand." Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So this scripture I read, was I felt it's so perfect because we are talking about healing for our land. And we want God to relent. We want God to turn. We want God to help us to solve some of the myriad of problems that we have in this country. And he is saying he can and he will do it if we turn from our wicked ways and our violence in the land. See, as I mentioned in the first episode, we are talking about healing for our land, but it requires individual commitment and an individual evaluation of our lives. And if we hook up with two or three, we don't need an army. We don't even need a whole church. It would be lovely if that can happen. All we need is two or three of us who have gone before God, search our hearts and ensure that our hearts are in tune and our lives are lined up with God's word. And if we pray on behalf of our nation, God has promised that he will bring healing. And we could use these principles even for our personal lives. I am sure that there are many things that are going on in our lives that we want God to intervene, to work out, to heal, to bless. God is saying to you, he is saying to me, if we would just humble ourselves, if we would just pray, if we would just seek his face, he didn't stop there, but he said there are some things in our lives that are not right. Whatever it is, you know. And if you don't know, you go before him and ask him and he will reveal it to you. He said, get rid of those things. Holiness is what I want. And then I will bring about the healing and deliverance that you need. I don't know about you, but I'm motivated and I am inspired and I've committed to God that every single day during my prayer time, when I get down and pray for my personal needs, when I get down and pray for the things that I want God to do in my life and the life of my family, that I am going to bring this country before him in prayer. And I am encouraging you, saints, to do the same. I am encouraging you to pray for our country, to pray for every area of family lives, the police, the government, the institution, for economic prosperity, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for our leaders, to ensure that they are doing what is in the best interest of this country and not selfish for themselves, their friends, their families, and the other people. I'm believing God, and he has promised in his word that if I do what he has called me to do, then he will do the rest. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, thank you for providing a path to national healing. You said in your word that if we humble ourselves, if we seek your face, if we pray, if we turn from our wicked ways, you will hear from heaven, you will forgive our sins, and you will heal our land. In humility, we acknowledge our need for your mercy and your guidance. Forgive us when we have turned away from your ways, God. In your compassion, heal our Bahama land. Restore what is broken, mend our divisions, and pour out your peace upon this country, Father, in the name of Jesus. Teach us to walk in love, in unity, and truth, so that we may honor you and reflect your goodness to those around us. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus and our Savior. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to the close of this two-part series, Healing for Our Land. I encourage you to join me as I call our country out in prayer and grab a friend. I'm going to do so. Grab a friend or two and believe God for healing in our land and for healing in your lives as well. If this session has been a blessing to you, email us at sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ 242 at gmail.com. Sisters, S-I-S-T-A-S, in Christ 242 at gmail.com. Until next time, continue to trust in God.